the Good News Station.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Military officials say crews have found human remains after the crash of a helicopter over waters off Florida. 7 Marines and 4 soldiers are presumed dead. Sarah Bodoni, spokesperson for Eglin Air Force Base, says the cause of the crash is still under investigation.
There was heavy fog within the area.
The crash took place during a routine training mission. Top U.S. military officials told a Senate panel there is reason for concern once ISIS is defeated in Iraq. They say there are fears militiamen backed by Iran will turn against the Sunni Iraqis and further destabilize the country. But Secretary of State John Kerry says a vote to give the president new war powers would send a strong message.
They have to understand they can't divide us. Don't let them. They cannot intimidate us. And they have no hope of defeating us.
The White House must reconcile demands from Democrats who don't want another ground war with concerns of Republicans who want that option left open. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
The review and release of Hillary Clinton's emails could cost taxpayers millions of dollars. Yesterday, the former Secretary of State said she provided 55,000 pages of her emails to the State Department instead of sending them electronically. She is under fire for using a personal email and server to conduct her business. She said she did it out of convenience.
I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work.
But her staff deleted her personal emails. Now some members of Congress are calling for an independent investigation.
The fact that she didn't obey the rules on putting her emails on a government server, and now she says there wasn't classified information, I'm not sure that can be trusted, since we can't trust her to do the right thing the first time.
That was Kentucky Senator Rand Paul on NBC's Today Show. Police are responding to a report of 4 people being shot at the Miami Beach home of rapper Lil Wayne. Officers have not yet confirmed the information. This is USA Radio News.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Secretary of State John Kerry says U.S. lawmakers won't be able to change the terms of any nuclear agreement with Iran because it won't be legally binding. He testified before a Senate panel.
They don't have the right to modify an agreement reached executive to executive between leaders of a country.
He also expressed disbelief that 47 Republican senators sent a letter to Tehran warning that an accord with President Obama's team could expire the day he leaves office.
My reaction to the letter was utter disbelief.
He says the letter undermined U.S. foreign policy. A protest is being planned outside the Dallas home of a former University of Oklahoma fraternity member, Parker Rice, who was seen in a video chanting a racial slur. The president of Next Generation Action Network says it will be peaceful. The former student has already issued an apology. Meanwhile, his father says the family has left the home due to receiving threatening phone calls. Police chief in suburban Atlanta has resigned before a grand jury decides whether to charge him with a misdemeanor crime for paralyzing his ex-wife in an accidental shooting. William McCollum says he wants to focus on his family after the recent tragedy. He dialed 911 early New Year's Day to report accidentally shooting his ex-wife Margaret as the couple slept in their bed. District Attorney Scott Ballard says McCollum took a loaded handgun to bed after drinking alcohol and taking sleeping medication. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
We should talk business now? Hey, thank you so much for listening. And you know what? I've got to say, Pastor Tom, we've had a lot of good people we've been able to help, and I mean really help. It's been a wonderful thing, very gratifying. The show has been, Mike, you know, you how many people, and you've not necessarily done business with them, but you've really helped them and helped them straighten out. So you had some mortgage problems.
I think I've been some help to some callers, and also actually I'm doing a couple of mortgages for some listeners as well.
There you go. 1-888-221-8990, 1-888-221-8990. This is a talk show, and today we actually have 4 out of 6 members here.
Wow.
That's really, it's hardly
rare.
Ever happened.
It's rare.
We get 4. What happened is 10 or 11 or 12 years ago, we don't know for sure, we started doing these radio shows, and Joe Martech, who's the one that's talking right now, is a financial advisor called a stockbroker or securities principal, lots of licenses. And I have lots of clients here on the Treasure Coast and also in 13 other states, because that happens. And clients would ask me questions that I do not know the answer to. And very specifically, they would be in certain categories. As an example, tax questions. Well, you know, they say, Joe, what do you know about taxes? I say, I know I got to pay them. Well, yeah, but what are you about me? And I said, I'm the wrong person to ask. He says, well, what good are you? Some professional you are, you don't know the answers. So I had to go find a CPA that I could trust.
Did you find them yet?
Well, wait a minute. I had to go find
so I went, find the best.
I found this CPA, and then he said, hey, Joe, I'm also a forensic CPA. And I said, what's that word forensic mean? He says, that means I can testify in court. The courts approve me to be an expert witness. I said, uh-huh. But did you ever teach college? And he says, yes, I did, but not at Columbia. So this is an inside joke.
It's an inside joke because he once said that I taught at Columbia.
And he had to straighten me out. And it was
I had to straighten around in a hurry because I taught at SUNY Old Westbury.
Okay.
Whoever heard of that school?
I say,
you've heard of Columbia. Yeah. Anyway.
You've never heard of SUNY, like State University of New York?
You've never heard of Florida Art Institute.
Yeah.
It sounds like a CPA school.
Florida Art.
It's better than a community college.
At least that's what some of our clients
think. Forensics for that,
yeah,
right?
See, for heart. Think that we're kind of creative that way.
So some years ago, and again, what happened, folks, it started years ago, and the first members of the team were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Big word, independent, meaning he doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client, and Dan, underneath his umbrella, not all companies are home and auto and whatever, but he has over 80 different companies. And in my opinion, if there's 100 independent insurance agents on the Treasure Coast, Dan is in the top 10, and he may be in the top 2 or 3. He just does. He's very, very credible, a super good person, high integrity, just a really good person. And there's people sitting right here today that have actually can give pure testimonials to what he's done for us personally for insurance. And I wouldn't say including Vince and Victoria or Joe, but I would. Anyway, he just does a good job. And then I had to have an attorney. Now, one of the reasons I had to have an attorney, was one of the first questions I ask a brand new prospect or suspect is, quote, are you ready to die? Well, if the attorney was sitting here, he'd say, Joe, you're asking that the wrong way. You're supposed to say, have you done your estate planning? I says, well, doesn't that mean the same thing? He says, well, yeah, but, you know, we also have to worry about some Christianity here. If they're not ready to die to meet God, we have a whole new subject. I says, okay.
One is accounting to God, Joe. The other is accounting to the feds.
Oh,
and some states.
I thought it was give Caesar what Caesar is, and right?
Unless Caesar gets greedy.
Uh-huh. So then, finding an attorney that was, quote, user-friendly, not arrogant, not pretentious, good listener. Does that sound impossible for an attorney?
It's very impossible, but not with him.
And Greg is the only one, and honestly, what happened 20-some years ago, I bumped into Greg Howe, I don't remember. And I used many, many attorneys over the years, but I have now gone back to Greg exclusively for everything. And Greg does not handle everything, but he's not one of these attorneys that Mike Paulus would tell you that will charge you to learn what he doesn't know.
You know, this morning, I walk my dog with this elderly lady, and she walks her dog, and she was saying that she's preparing her will, and she's been working with this attorney, not Greg, for several weeks now, because she keeps going back and back, and he keeps saying he's working on it, working on it. So he keeps wanting to come back because he wants to see the cash register ring.
Yeah.
See, that's terrible. It makes my stomach sick, you know, because we've all seen people get taken advantage of, and it hurts me. So finding an attorney that was honest, that's number one. Two, that had the other attributes and that didn't overcharge people. And Greg is just one of those, you know, probably the only attorney I know I'd like to have as a next door neighbor.
Yeah, I just wish I could have referred her to Greg, because I think that would have been a good situation for her.
We'll have his number ready next time you walk the dog.
Well, the problem is, once she's already dealing with one attorney,
it's hard to pull away.
You really have a hard time saying, hey, dump him and go to somebody else after she's already spent whatever.
Well, I'll give you
wouldn't have a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
Well, all the rest of us do.
One of the things this attorney was having an issue with was the lady has a deed at dock. And he had to research how to handle that deed at dock in the will.
Oh, my Lord.
So that's another, you know, we were talking about paying an attorney to educate them.
Yeah.
And this is a prime example of that.
Very sad. Very sad. You know, and I get...
Well, if it's deeded, there shouldn't be any problem.
We know
just
it's
be
not.
Transferred.
Well, guess who's in the business? You are. So this is easy, right?
Right.
But you think here's an attorney, and what he's doing, he's a crossing a T, dot the I person. Well, you get paid by the hour to cross the T's and dot the I's, no matter what. And, you know, there's a lot of jokes about attorneys, and most of them are true. But Greg is just one of the better people you'll ever meet. And then Ms. Victoria Lloyd, real estate. Real estate became such a monster subject since SEP 08 and 09 that we had to get into the group a credible realtor. Now, I've only known this lady since 1980. And she's still only 30 years old. It's a miracle.
Miracles do happen. This is a great station for that.
But she's Remax of Stewart, and she's, if not the hardest working person alive, I don't know who else works harder. I'm surprised she showed. What do you have? Slow
day? I work too late as far as Mike's concerned.
Slow day to
when
day?
When he gets a text.
You mean, you know, nobody wants you now?
Not at this moment. I made it happen. I'm here.
That's scary. Anyway, here's what happens with Victoria. People say, okay, I want to sell my house for X. And she'll say, okay, how'd you come up with that price? And they'll say, here's how. Then she'll go shop all of the competition and come in with every different comparable, everything all around them, and show them, okay, here's what everything is, and here's what your house should sell for. And they say, well, that's not what I want to do. Well, Victoria's not going to lie to you or tell you anything that is even remotely not exactly the way it is. And like Mike and I were talking today, sometimes you're not too subtle.
Oh.
Is that true?
That's true. I come right out with it.
But what happens is, if you want somebody going to tell you the straight skinny and do the right job for you, this is the girl. I mean, you know, and so some years ago when I needed to add a realtor into this thing, she was the 15th or 16th, I forget. First person.
Nobody else wanted the job.
And just to get somebody in here that I knew, whenever we have any of my clients or Vince's or Mike's, anybody in our group that talks to any one of these people, I feel very confident that nobody is going to take advantage of that person, and it's not going to come back to haunt us. One of the things about being a credible professional is guilt by association. And if you recommend somebody that doesn't do the right thing for your client, it makes you look just as bad or even worse than the person you're recommending. So it was very, 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 very careful. And then, speaking of mortgages, did we talk about those things?
Yes, we do.
Today?
Not today.
Oh, okay, good. I just wanted to know if you're keeping me straight. See, Victoria and I go back so far. I mean, she used to, hey, if I go to the doctor, she had to look at my blood work.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'd come back from the doctor. She'd say, let me see it. And she'd go through it and said, okay, here's what you're doing wrong. You got to take this. You got
to
do that.
But I mean, you are taking vitamins now you never used to take.
See, I'm telling you, the only reason I'm alive is because of her.
It's true. Yeah. Those are true stories.
But, well, not the
you
alive.
You owe me. You owe me.
Well, I always will, you know, but thank goodness my credit's good with you, right?
That's right.
The accumulated interest is
it's
not
on
good.
The books.
Joel will never pay that debt.
No. Well, I'll give it to you to keep an eye on it.
So then Mike Pallas became another critical member of the group because during this debacle of real estate these last few years, mortgages became a very difficult subject because the press was saying, hey, you can't get one. You got to have 20% down on everything and the credit scores have to be 9,000. I'm exaggerating a bit, Mike. But, you know, and then Mike would come on and he said, hey, do you know that there's the USDA program that if you qualify, it has no money down? Then he said there's some programs that have credit scores in the 500s and 600s, which is not considered good, but mm-hmm. they're tolerant.
That's right.
So literally, it became an education process in this group, teaching our listeners about the things that they should know about. And the fact that we take a lot of this stuff for granted is only because we've been doing it for a long time.
Well, you know, the press comes out with all this misinformation. You know, I watch CNBC, the Financial News Channel, every morning, and all those folks, they always, you know, say how difficult it is to get a mortgage.
Right.
But you have to remember, those folks are buying $600,000-$700,000 houses, million-dollar houses, and, you know, those folks are going to be under the microscope. They're going to look at the down payment. You have to be very well qualified to buy those houses. But the average buyer, you know, there's a lot of good programs out there, 10% down, 5% down, 0% down, like you said.
But, Mike, those are called jumbo loans, where qualifications are a little different.
Yeah, when you're doing larger loans, typically over $417,000, it's categorized as a jumbo loan. And that's a whole different animal because
right,
they're not
right.
backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA. They're private institutions that lend them. If you're lending your own money, you're going to be a little bit more cautious about this.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
It is, but it's interesting.
And if you understand it, you
know why they ask for these. They ask a lot of personal questions, and they ask for your checking account, where your money is, and they ask you questions about your credit report and things, and people take that a little personal sometimes, but they shouldn't.
Well, you know,
because they need to know
documentation. This is the way it was back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. We had to document everything, and they've gotten back to the old system documentation,
it's creeping ahead again.
Back 25 years ago, when I got in the business, it was typical to do a 60-day closing. If you entered into a contract, you closed 60 days later.
Right, right.
Because of all the documentation that was required, and we did this all before the internet.
Right.
So trying to document things and email things back and forth, I mean, we had to wait 2 weeks to get a credit report back then. So right. Now it's instant, and it's starting to get a bit of a longer process.
You know, Victoria, you'll remember this, and just made me think about spreadsheets. We used to have a spreadsheet that was 4 and 5 feet long, and the client's name would be here. Then there would be all these categories for checklist, all of the things that needed to be done to mm-hmm. get the mortgage. And we didn't trust the mortgage people, so we would follow up ourselves with the checklist to make sure the mortgage people were doing their job.
Yes.
And of course we didn't.
Which they weren't. Yeah, so we had to really follow up on them.
But it was an internet, like you said, before the internet, we didn't have a computer, and we were literally, it's all hand done and dates and everything. Is this filled in?
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, when did you get married? How many years ago, Mike?
20 years ago.
Yeah, that's when I met you, right? Mm-hmm. You were still single when I met him. So scary. We've known each other that long.
Is that why his wife gets upset when you email him at 3 a.m?
No, he
she's
just,
used to it now.
He had just gotten engaged when we had met.
This Victoria Lloyd, if she wakes up at 3 a.m, she starts working, and then she'll text or email and immediately, and she just expects everybody else to be up at 3 a.m. too. So it's like that State Farm commercial where the guy's on the phone talking to a State Farm guy, and his wife comes in and says,
what are you wearing?
Yeah. what are you wearing?
Khakis.
She sounds hideous.
Oh yeah. Because it's a hymn.
Because it's a hymn.
Yeah, we remember that. That's amazing.
1-888-221.
Very effective commercial.
89. Yeah, well, you know, you remember. We're talking
about it, aren't we?
I actually remember it's State Farm.
Right.
You know, which, because, you know, most times you remember the commercial, but you can't remember the product.
Right.
Which company.
That's like a Super Bowl there.
Well, you know, it's funny. You were talking about 3 o'clock in the morning. I just met up with one of my clients. I had gotten a short sale for, which was a condominium. Now, those condos were going at one time for over $1 million. And, you know, we got it a little bit under $400,000 with a garage. So we got such a super deal. It was on North Hutchison Island. But I worked so hard. We looked. She says, I can't remember how many times we came and how many condos we looked at, and you never stopped. And she says, here I would be getting these emails at 2 a.m. and she says, honey, I don't think she ever sleeps, you know.
Well, the truth is,
but when it hit and we looked at it, we won over it. Which was nice.
Well, I remember driving her across the state, you know, and then
we were coming from Maryland
and or across whatever it was, and then, you know, she's not stop. I said, Vic, can't you be quiet for 1 minute? All of a sudden she was sound asleep
in the back seat. He doesn't realize I like to fall asleep in the back seat of the car, though.
Oh, when she's quiet, I figure she's sleeping. No, that was it. 1-888-221-8990. We have Mr. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, forensic CPA, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, and Joe Martek, financial advisor here. If anybody has any questions that we can help you with, that's what we're here to do. Just so you know, our group too, we don't house together, meaning we don't have office space together. We don't share commissions or fees. Each person is independent. When we started doing these shows, what I wanted was not one person in charge. I wanted to get what I consider the top cream of the crop. But we have a caller, so I'm going to take the caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, Mr. Martek, God bless you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that.
And I appreciate all of you giving advices. I've tried to listen to you every Wednesday.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I have a question. I am retiring in 2 years. I rent and I don't own.
Okay.
When I did my income tax this year, because I didn't have anything to itemize.
Right.
I almost have to pay back. Now, my question is the following. Is it advisable to buy a house and have a little mortgage on it so that when during retirement, I can have an itemized deduction, or is it better to rent?
Well, boy, I've got a real easy answer to that, and let me just, you know, you stay on here, and Vince Rosino, CPA, and I are both nodding our heads, because here's what happens. Let's say you buy this house and you get a $100,000 mortgage, okay?
Okay.
And let's just say you're paying 6% interest, even though you can get better than that, but let's use 6%. That's $6,000 a year, right?
Yes.
At 6% times 100 to be $6,000. Now, that $6,000 you get to claim as a deduction on your taxes if it's your home that you live in and you don't pay tax on that money. So let's say you're in a 20% tax bracket because you're retired now and you're making, $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 a year, including your Social Security. And Vince, I'm playing your game here. So now you don't have to pay tax on that $6,000. That means you spent $6,000, but you get to save $1,200 in your tax. You follow me?
A little bit.
Okay, Vince, you explain that because I'm trying.
Okay, first thing is, if it's only $6,000, her standard deduction would be greater than that if that's the only itemized deduction she has.
Now, you follow what he's saying? You have the, when you do your taxes, you have this broad category where the government says, hey, we'll give you all of this and you don't have to itemize. Right, Vince?
Now, you can deduct also real estate taxes as well as mortgage interest. So maybe that would take you over the threshold, but not a lot over the threshold. Depends on how much you need to do the overall look at this and not just isolate it on the house. Because there's even a bigger question needs to be answered. Can you afford to carry the house? And if I don't know how old you are, and I'm not going to ask you for that over the air, but depending on whether you have the ability to maintain it, because the, you know, sometimes owning the house, forget the taxes. I never tell people necessarily to do something just because for tax purposes. I mean, because there's a lot that goes into that. If you rent, it's somebody else's headache. Sometimes it's better to rent than to own. Sometimes it is. Depends on the circumstance. Yeah. But in your particular case, to answer your question on the deductibility and from a tax point of view, I'd say not necessarily going to give you the biggest bang for your buck that you're not already getting now. Depends on how much you spend on contributions every year to stations like WCNO. I mean, if you're giving them $10,000 and then you're paying taxes and other things, then perhaps you'd have itemized deductions that are going to exceed the standard, and you'll get a benefit from all this.
Let's get very personal.
Mm-hmm.
You're not retired yet, but you're close. Am I right?
Yes, I am 3 years away.
Okay. 3 years away.
You're not taking Social Security yet, right?
Oh, no, I am not. I'm waiting. Otherwise, I'll lose my 25%.
So okay, so you're 62 then, I take it. Okay, or 63.
Or 63.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay, we're kind of sneaking in telling you how old you are without asking you. You notice how sneaky we were?
That's okay. That's okay. Listen, I came on the line expecting that, okay, so that I can have a very good answer.
So we didn't have to sneak in on that. We could have just jumped in, right?
You know, the only other thing. Give her this.
I am like Victoria. You know, say it like it is.
That's a good girl.
Thank you.
There you go.
Well, I'm ready to just say something too, because if you're not ready to retire yet, and you still have the income coming in, and the way that the values of property are going up now, and there's no guarantee, but let's say they stay up, even if you decide at the time of retirement that you sell this home, you might make some profit on this home that'll be nice towards your retirement, even if you decided to rent at that time. So the values are so low right now.
I think the key is you have to look at this. When you rent, you don't own. You're at the mercy of a landlord, and the landlord can do whatever, and you don't always get the best landlord. On the other hand, if you own, you are in charge of everything there yourself, but you also have all the expenses. On the other hand, interest rates are extremely low. House values today are still below what's called a replacement value, what it cost to build a brand new house. If you can afford to own a house and you'd like the comfort of owning a house, I'm more concerned about your stomach and your heart than I am about looking at just the numbers. But
yes. I wasn't going to go for anything extravagant.
Right.
You know, something modest, you know, like a condo, modest condos. Okay. You know, a lot of them, two bedroom, two baths, are going less for expensive. $60,000 in my area. I live in Green Acres. And, you know, nothing extravagant because after all, you know, I'm going to be a limited income.
So you can still buy a condo in Green Acres for $50,000, $60,000?
Yes, a two-bedroom, two-bath.
I'll tell you what, you probably should buy, I mean, this is my personal opinion, because that's probably below replacement cost, what it would cost to build a brand new one.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she'd probably be paying less than what she's paying in rent, too, because Victoria can tell you this, the rents have been going, you know, off the charts.
Exactly.
But let me get back.
In the HOA, in the area where I am, the HOA is just, it's only $500 a quarter.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you go for a $60,000 house, if you put down a nominal amount of money, and you say if you had a $50,000 or $55,000 mortgage at 6%, what are you talking about?
3,000.
Because her original question was would it be to her tax advantage?
Exactly.
To do it?
Right.
Because Victoria is handling the social and business aspect, the emotional aspect.
You're looking
of
at
it.
The
I'm
tax.
Looking at it purely from a tax point of view.
Yeah.
And if it's purely from a tax point of view, a $55,000 mortgage is not going to give you enough itemized deductions where you're going to get a benefit from that. Not a tax advantage. You may have other advantages. Maybe the house will go up in value, and that may be the advantage that you're going to have.
And your monthly fees
And your monthly fees will be lower. Maybe your carrying costs will be less.
Well, the other thing, if you get a fixed-rate mortgage, in theory, your payment is going to stay pretty much the same for a long period of time. Your rent's not going to go up every year because the landlords today are raising rents. So you got to put all of that into the hopper. If you buy a condo, you're probably, Mike, going to have to put 20% down?
No. Well, condos are becoming more difficult to finance, but you can still find condos and put 5% down.
Okay. So what you might want to do is give this some thought. Leave Connie your name and number, and probably the person to talk to first would be Mike Polis, the mortgage guy, and have him run the numbers for you over the phone without charging, no money, just to help you. And then that way you can make a more intelligent decision. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes very good sense. Thank you very much.
All right. When you called in, did you give Connie your name and number?
I surely did.
All right. Then Mike will give you a call back after the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, if it's at 7 o'clock, I'll be at church so you can leave me a message.
I sure will.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, are you still there? What's your first name?
Marie,
are you Jamaican?
No, sir, I'm not Jamaican.
Where are you?
I am from Haiti.
No, you've got a beautiful. I love the accent. That's all. But I guess I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not as good on a French accent as I was on the Jamaican English. Thank you so much, though.
Thank you very much for your input. I really appreciate it. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Bye
bye. 1-888-221-8990.
That was a difficult call because it's when you're right on that line like that.
It was very
difficult. So many variables that go into that decision. But she was inquiring about the tax aspects, but there are other aspects.
I just think if Mike runs the numbers and lets her know what she would be spending for principal interest, mm-hmm. then you can put an equation in for taxes.
Yeah, and there's other expenses as well. You have to pay real estate taxes. You have to insure the interior of the condo.
Then there's going to be maintenance.
And then there's association fees, but at the mercy of the landlord.
Yeah.
Oh, I think they're so much lower.
We have another caller here. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, yes. I have a question. I homesteaded my property in December, and I was a first-time home buyer last year. I purchased a home, and I homesteaded it, so obviously it would go through for next year. But now my husband and I are thinking about selling, and I was told to look in to some information on if I could transfer my homestead or if there would be any way that I could homestead another piece of property if I sell this one.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can homestead other properties, and they have a thing called portability. But I don't think you've been in it long enough.
But it's still
have the portability.
You can only have one homestead at a time.
Well, that's what she's saying. Yeah. She wants to make sure she can homestead another property.
No doubt about it. You go ahead and sell this one, and you can buy another house, and even have both of them for a short period of time, and then go homestead the second home, or you can homestead the second home right away, because your intent is to make that your homestead, and that's right.
You can transfer it at any time.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So you don't, as long as you don't have two, obviously, at the same time, then the one that you're dwelling in can be homesteaded.
Exactly.
You can have two homes, but only one can be homesteaded.
You can actually have 10 homes, but you can only have one homestead.
Great.
That was my question.
Mike wants to tell you something.
Thank you so much.
When you apply for your homestead exemption, there's actually a separate application for your portability of your old savings. So when you do that, make sure you fill out both applications.
Right.
Okay, what did you say? What was in that application?
For homestead, and then there's an application for portability of your homestead.
Okay.
You just make sure you get both forms, that's all, whenever you buy the new one and sell the other one. And then you...
Okay, got you. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888. Pastor Tom, you're not helping us today at all.
You're so interesting, Joe. I don't have to say a thing.
What I like, sometimes pastors have sarcasm in them. Is that true?
Was that sarcasm?
1-888-221-8990. Well, at least you're not falling asleep this week. Last week we were putting you to sleep.
No, I think he just was working too long and too hard.
Well, that's what he said. And you're defending him, but
defending
I know about
him. Absolutely,
he's in my corner.
He's in your corner, right?
I think he was still jet lagged from his trip.
That's true.
Oh, that happens.
Yeah, well, you only been back 10 days or so. You know, we don't expect you to.
It's only 3 weeks. What are you talking about?
What, did you go to Hawaii or something?
No, he went to Israel
and Greece too, right?
Yeah.
No, that's next year.
That's next year. Okay.
Wow, that's great.
I thought you were going to... No, that's Turkey, Ephesus. Yeah, that's
Turkey and Greece.
Yeah.
1-888...
I'd love to do that trip.
221-89... I've been to Greece.
But why are you doing it in March?
They got all these rocks laying all over the ground. You're not allowed to touch.
If you did it in May, I would go.
Yeah, I had a call from your wife. She said, too bad it was... that time of year, that's a busy time for you.
Yeah, it is. Otherwise, I'd go. I want to go to Israel.
Yeah. 1-888-221-8990.
Jerusalem in particular.
Yeah. All right. So, as we're talking subjects, we got taxes, we have money, we have real estate, we have mortgages.
All money related.
What?
They are all money related.
Isn't that how that
works? We all work together. Yeah? We're in the melting pot.
They flow? Well, the name plan of the game is either to save you money or make you money. I mean, literally, that's what we try to do as a group. But more of anything is to try to educate. A lot of the things that we do and we take for granted. One, if you've been doing this for 20 and 30 and 40 years, it doesn't seem hard anymore because you've pretty much gone through it. And we do take some things for granted. It's like saying Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know what that means. But I bet you this, less than half the people out there listening, they may have heard it. But they don't know that Fannie Mae is a pseudonym for Federal National Mortgage Association, and that's the government agency, or quasi-government, they call it, that buys mortgages from banks. So you might be making your payment to Bank of America or whoever, but the government said, okay, Bank of America, we're guaranteeing that loan.
Well, I don't think you can say quasi anymore because they're under receivership from the government. They're still being run by the government. And actually, there's a lot of controversy about that.
In the end, the taxpayers are responsible, aren't they?
Well, the taxpayers are responsible, but there are stockholders for Fannie Mae.
Which is kind of weird, isn't it?
That's why it's quasi.
And they're very upset about the government still having control over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
They're holding on to them. They're not even putting them on the market, a lot of these Fannie Mae. And they put them on the market for a long time before you can make offers on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want primary residence first.
Well, that's
instead of investors. And when I'm working with the foreclosures for Fannie Mae, they're my hardest out of any of the lenders.
And they take a long time.
And they take longer than most of them to get answers back.
Well, there's also things you have to be cautious about too when you're buying a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac house. Those houses have been vacant, so you know there could be mold issues, there could be problems with the house, cuz if you leave a house unattended, things tend to happen to them here in Florida. Vandalism, mold, et cetera. But also when you buy one, there's a lot of things hidden in their contract that you have to be aware of. Like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac exempt themselves from paying any kind of transfer tax, like dock stamps on the deed.
Right.
So, and that's a typical item that's paid by the seller in a transaction. Well, if Fannie Mae is a seller, they're exempting themselves from that. However, the state of Florida says you still have to pay those. So who has to pay them? The buyer. So sometimes you have to add that in. You may think you're getting a good deal on one of these houses, but after you add in all these little expenses, it may not be such a great deal.
Now, Mike, let's say I'm a buyer, and I call up and I said, hey, I've got this deadbeat realtor that's not helping me much, but I found this property I like. Can you help me? And you'd say,
call Victoria.
Like I say, call Mike for the loan, like I did today.
But the thing would be, you can explain to me over the phone these expenses.
Yes.
And get me ready to...
Well, that's part of the pre-qualification process, Joe, because, we're qualifying you based on your credit and your income, but we also have to know how much money you have. Do you have enough for your down payment? Do you have enough for your closing costs? Now, if you're buying a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac property or even FHA, those closing costs are going to be a little bit more because you have to pay some of their closing costs. So you just have to be careful about that.
You brought up a here I go, Joe. Pay attention.
You woke up.
No, you brought up the point about people buying the Fannie Mae homes because there may be mold issues and things.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a fella this past week, and he was thinking of buying a home that had been stripped because it had Chinese drywall.
Right.
Now, are there any guarantees that he won't have is there something that he needs to look out for?
Yeah, it's, you know what? I'd be very, very cautious about buying a house that had Chinese drywall issue.
Absolutely.
My wife is an appraiser. She hasn't appraised for me, but, she was telling me about a house that she recently appraised. And that house was supposedly gutted, and as part of her due diligence, she had to say, well, prove it, because that is all factored into the value of the house. So actually, this seller documented it very well, took photos all through the process, took pictures of all the drywall gone, all the wiring redone, the plumbing redone. So in that situation, it's probably a pretty good restore. But to the average person, How do you know all that drywall was removed? And how do you know that didn't cause some other issues with the house? You may have replaced
with
the drywall.
With wiring, the plumbing. And
Yeah.
Well, this particular house that he's talking about is on my street.
Mm-hmm.
And the people moved in it, and 6 months later, they were out. And that house had sat empty almost 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have, you know, I mean, the dumpsters out there. I saw them dragging the drywall out. They stripped everything to carpet.
Yeah.
They threw the sinks out. They threw everything out.
Well, that's pretty much what they have to do, right, Mike?
Yeah, you have to remove all of that. And
a lot of them are not doing that.
They pulled the mechanicals out. You know, all the duct work, everything went into the dumpster.
Yeah. Yeah, even the air conditioning, everything has to change.
When you get to that point, it's almost cheaper just to demolish the house and just sell it all off and start all over. And you know what? That's probably the better thing to do anyway, because when you go to, if you buy a house like that, how do you make that guarantee to the next buyer that all the work was done properly?
It has a thing called a stigma follows it.
No doubt about it.
The stigma is always with that property, and that's going to affect the value, in my opinion. I think that's going to affect the value of that house.
Because that would have to be disclosed each and every time that the house is sold.
If you know about it, you need to disclose
it. That's the law. You know, that's the law. You're supposed to say. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So luckily for you listeners today, if you call in, we have Mr. Mike Polis, mortgage broker, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor known to man, Mr. Vince Rosino, CPA, and Joe Martek, financial advisor.
Vince, you'd be proud of me today.
Wow, what'd you do?
I funded my IRA.
Wow,
from last year.
Right, from last year.
Wow.
Yep. You have till the 15th of April to do that.
Now, mm-hmm.
When you file your return, whichever comes first.
Who'd you borrow the money from?
But aren't there's different forms of IRAs. Let's call simples and SEPs. And do all of them allow you to go till April 15th for the prior year?
Some of them go beyond, like SEP IRAs. You can go to your extended period of time.
You can do that? Yes. But most of them at least until April 15th?
At least until April 15th, correct.
Okay, that's good to know. What about a Roth? Same thing?
I think April 15th on the Roth.
Okay, I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. I just get upset when it's my money that I get penalized because their whole, you know, that's my retirement. If I want that money now, I shouldn't be penalized.
No, you don't anymore. You're old enough.
Well, you still get penalized.
No, you don't.
You have to pay tax.
You have to pay tax.
Yes, you got
to
pay tax.
But still,
no
talking
penalty.
For the average person, they have to pay a penalty, plus they have to, if they don't pay it back in,
5 years.
Was it 5 years?
When you borrow from what? The 401k you're talking about?
Yeah, but you can't borrow from an IRA or
no, well, I thought one was like 60 days or 90 days.
Oh, you're talking about a rollover. You're talking about an IRA,
well,
like a rollover?
Let's say you borrowed money out of it.
And then now you want to pay it back and put it back in?
Put it back in.
You got 60 days to put it back in.
That's what I thought, 60 days.
And a 401k, if you're working, you can go in instead. Well,
if you borrow, you got 5 years to pay it back.
But not.
But you got to be working. Joe's right.
Back again. IRA, you got 60 days. So when I tell people, you know, if you want to get a check cut to you on an IRA and you go open a new one with somebody else, don't cash the check. And what you should do is make that check out to the person you're going to go to for benefit of you. In other words, it's going to be made out to Fidelity. And on the check, it'll say Fidelity, FBO, for benefit of Ms. Victoria Lloyd. I wouldn't say the Ms. part, but I will. But the point is, all it amounts to is you are opening up a flag by taking money out of one for any period of time before you open another one, and you've got 60 days to do it.
Trustee to trustee is the best way to do
trustee
it. You know what some people do, Joe? They borrow the money for a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
With full intent to pay it back.
And
within the 60 days, and then they don't. They forget. I had one woman call me just about a month ago on that same thing. She says, well, my accountant normally reminds me that I have to put it in 60 days. This time, he didn't send me an email.
So it's your fault, Vince. You've got to pay the tax.
It wasn't me. It was the person before me. She was coming to me because she had a problem with this person.
I sent her to my ex-wife.
Was she right?
One of his ex-wives.
But I tried to defend the person. Whoever it was a tax preparer.
It's,
not the tax preparer's responsibility to remind you that you
absolutely
need to roll it back
absolutely
in 60
not
days. You know.
And I have, you know, I've seen people very embarrassed that took money out and they did not know that they had to pay tax on all that money. And, you know, and it's very sad.
It is sad.
Because it's a big chunk
of change.
You know
what's even sadder? Somebody had to buy a house and he was about 6 months away from avoiding the penalty and
took it
out. Couldn't do it. He had to take it out. And it was a lot of money. It was over $100,000. So think about that, $10,000.
Well, I had a client that borrowed some money out to her. I had her house for sale, and I sold it right away, but it was just a delayed closing. And she found another property, and she wanted to get in that first and fix it and paint it so when she does the final move. And so we reminded her. We put in our phones, so we reminded each other all the time. And her
financial advice. Well, you're helping her. But the key is this. If I have an IRA, say it's $100,000, I can take that whole $100,000 and spend it as long as I put it back in another IRA or the same one within 60 days, not 61 or two.
Nope.
I know. But 60 days, I think they should give you a longer period of time.
Well, can you borrow against it, though? Can you keep it in there?
No.
No.
401k.
The 401k, and only if the 401k documents allow you to. It's got to be part of the plan that allows you to.
And you've got to be working, I think.
You've got to be working.
Yeah.
You cannot borrow from a 401k if you're not working there anymore.
So, yeah, it's there's these stickler things, and what Victoria was another thing that she alluded to, when you're age 59 and a half or older, you can take out all the money you want out of an IRA, and you have no penalty, but you do have
still
to pay
income tax.
You have to pay
the income tax.
But if it's not a Roth, you know, the Roths are different.
But if it becomes a Roth, it's part of your income.
Yeah. Another caller here. We'll take them. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hey, Joe, this is Patty Kilbasa, and I'd like to address something that Vince just said.
Go right ahead. I hope. Hey, are you going to pick on him, I hope?
A little bit, because he was referring to something I was saying to him in his office, but then it wasn't just my accountant. He's also my, you know, my investment advisor.
You didn't mention that part.
No, I like that part. Go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, it is a standing procedure for his assistant to always send a reminder email that it's time to put your money back as the investment. So right. I think that's where the confusion was. So I wasn't blaming my accountant. I was blaming my investment guy.
But it's the same. But it's the same guy.
Yes, it is.
See, what you do, you hit him on the right side of his head rather than the left side of his head. Is that right?
Exactly.
Patty, I swear to you, you said it was your accountant, and so that's why I said that.
Yeah.
I wasn't lying. You just verified.
Right?
It is true.
But see, it wasn't your accountant that was stupid. It was your financial advisor. How come I understand that, Vince?
Well, I said that all the time. I definitely would have blamed that financial advisor.
There you go. Well,
anyway, I just wanted to have a little fun with you guys. I hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
Thank you so much, Patty, for listening.
We'll be seeing you soon.
Remember this. You can call in as often as you want, and make sure you pick on Vince, because he needs it.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, no problem.
Okay, bye. 1-888-221-8990.
I have a question about, you were talking about borrowing against the IRA.
Can't.
There's some companies out there that will take a structured settlement and give you cash.
Right.
Will they do that for IRAs?
Not that I've, where you could actually cash it in and now borrow against it, if you will.
Well,
I don't know if those places do that. I don't think you're allowed to by law. I don't think you're allowed to hypothecate those accounts.
The answer is no. You're going to pay the tax and the penalty, and then they'll go and give you an income off of it. But boy, I'll tell you, that's the worst. In my opinion, that's one of the worst decisions you can make, is to do what you just said. What some people,
well, you know, in an emergency, if somebody needed the money.
Well, let's do this. If I have a $100,000 IRA and I'm 50 and I need that $100,000 to bail my son out of jail, among other things, I'll cash it in, pay a 10% penalty and the tax, and bail him out of jail. But no other way are you going to go. Now, if I pledge that to a bank, I don't think you can even pledge an IRA to the bank for a loan.
No.
One of the problems that happens, if you go bankrupt, IRAs are exempt from attachment by creditors. Banks or anybody else, they say, hey, we can't chase that money. That is collateral. But we have another phone call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Mike. This is Bethley. I have a question. Is it better to borrow money from your 401k to buy a car instead of finance?
Good question.
I think that depends on your discipline to pay back the loan. Because if you're borrowing against that, it's generally, I'd say a general rule, no. I wouldn't borrow money to buy a car.
Well,
if you had to, though, if you have the discipline to pay it back, then you're paying back yourself. And even the interest, you're paying back to yourself. So in the end, financially, if you've got the discipline to pay it back in the time allotment, yes, it would be not a bad idea. Most people don't have the discipline, and then they get stuck at the end of the 5 years, and they have income all of a sudden. You and see, it's phantom income to
and
them.
And besides, there's two problems. If you're under age 59 and a half and you don't pay this money back, you not only have to pay the tax on it, you also have to pay a 10% penalty. So the answer can be yes if you borrow it out, but back again to Vince's thing, you better set up a payment schedule to yourself and be very faithful to it. So you're basically borrowing money from your retirement. And if you are still working, you can pay it back and the whole plan can work. But you don't
have to. Most places will do it. Most places, oh, yeah. Joe, will actually set you up on that plan because they're very well aware, your employers, that there's potentially a tax problem down the road.
There you go.
If you don't pay it back. So they'll set you up with a payment plan to pay it back.
And does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One.
I think that was a yes and no. The way he answered
with
that.
With the interest rates as low as they are, I mean, why wouldn't you get a car loan?
Well, let's say you don't qualify. Mm-hmm. There's another problem.
That's
so,
true.
So, you know, if his credit's not good enough because of whatever the problem might be, and I'm not going to, you know, I don't care about what the problem is, but if you can, you know, most car dealers are under 6% now, or some of them are 3 and 4, to get a new car loan.
Or, 3.5.
Yeah,
you know, there is another
area. But on the other hand, if you've got bad credit, it could be 10 or 12 or 14. So your 401k could be a lot less onerous.
You know, there is another answer to this, and of course, it doesn't. Not everybody has it, but if you have a whole life policy, for example, that you've got equity built up in the policy, you can borrow against those policies as well, and have the same thing, pay yourself back. The difference there is there's no 5 years you have to pay it back.
Exactly.
But it does diminish the value because you do get charged for
that.
You're
going to lose part of the death benefit.
So you lose some of the
benefit.
And I
know somebody that does that.
Well,
and
a lot of people
buys
have
real estate and it works out perfect.
Well,
so that's another vehicle. It's another form of a bank.
That's true.
Yourself being the bank.
What it is, it's your own money basically is what you're borrowing, but it's money that's tied up in a vehicle that has different rules. And in order to make that vehicle work from its intended purpose, you've got to pay it back.
True.
But if you don't, you know, there's a lot of people think that you can take money out of a life insurance contract and never pay it back and never pay tax.
No, never, because it reduces the death benefit upon death.
But you also,
or it costs you on your cash values because they're going to charge you the interest.
And there can be a tax consequence.
And there could be a tax consequence, definitely.
1-888-221-8990. Well, that's kind of nice. We got a couple of different types of questions today.
Thank you for calling
in.
Here comes another one.
Hey, with any luck, Connie's taking the phone, you know.
Poor Connie, we're going to have to give her a raise out there.
Joe, we were talking about PMI this morning.
Yeah.
She didn't hear it. Don't worry, Pastor. She didn't hear it.
I had a question for Vince about PMI. Is PMI tax deductible?
Yes, in certain instances, yes. Depends on when they bought the house. Mm-hmm. I think it's after 2008 or so. There's a cutoff. That when you, it's the houses bought after that they give you relief on the PMI.
You were
so
saying,
if you itemize, then you can.
It's
take
one
that
of the deductions. It's like interest. It's another form of interest.
You were saying that sometimes you help people eliminate their PMI after a period of time.
Yes,
it depends.
Yeah, PMI is removable with, you know, in most situations if it's a conventional loan, and that you have 80%. If you have an 80% loan to value or 20% equity in the property, there is a way to remove your PMI. So for all the listeners out there, if you have a loan with PMI, if you want to give me a call, I'd be happy to tell you what the procedures would be to, you know, potentially get rid of that PMI.
Well, that can be an important thing because it's usually like 1% a year, give or take, isn't it?
Well, you know, there is a law that was passed back in the late 90s. It's the Homeowners Protection Act, and it set out requirements that mortgage company had to remove PMI. When you pay down the loan from the original loan balance by 20%, you can request the removal of the PMI. So if you put 5% down today, you close on the house, tomorrow you hit the lottery and you want to pay that down to 20%, you can have that removed.
Now, or have an appraisal done to show that there's a 20, do they still do that?
They do that, but there's some limitations on that. If it's before 5 years, then that loan has to be, you have to document that you have 25% equity in that property.
Really?
But you'll have to keep it in on for at least 2 years. But if you pay down the loan, there is no reason why you can't get rid of that, unless you can, unless the house went upside down, if it went, if you lost equity in the property.
Yeah, exactly.
The question is, if I've paid it down, and I'm automatically, I am below this 20% threshold or 25%, do they notify me?
Well, by law, no, by, if you pay it down through normal amortization,
right,
through your normal payments, the mortgage company must remove that once you hit that threshold.
Okay.
But Joe, you do get, I do, because okay, I have a client that gets a letter annually from the bank that mm-hmm. says you have an option to get rid of the MIP, but the mortgage
insurance.
But you, as Mike says, you have to have, and they tell you, you have to have the loan to value has to be, you know, 80-20.
Right.
So they tell you that. But so I think, I don't know if it's a law that they have to do it, but the bigger banks are advising
well,
you.
Well, they probably is a reg, right, Mike?
I'm not sure that they have to give you notice, but if a law, the bank can be penalized if they don't remove it based on the normal amortization. Now, if you request it, then you have to document that the house has not gone down in value, and normally that is an appraisal. So if anyone wants to remove their PMI, I always suggest call the lender first and get one of their approved appraisers, or see if they have an approved appraiser, because
you don't want
to spend money on appraisal that they're not going to accept.
Right. 1-888-221-8990. We're about out of time for calls, but you can call the radio station at any time. Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number and have us call you back. 1-888-221-8990. And last but not least, just in case you have money, wouldn't this be an amazing thing? People that actually have money.
Be lovely, but I'm not going to leave any money to anybody. I want it
spent. Oh, you're another Warren Buffett.
Yeah, it'll be spent.
You're giving it all to charity.
I'm spending it before I go.
Are you going to buy a Bentley convertible?
I might. I'm bad looking.
The Victoria Lloyd Bahama Vacation Fund.
Bahama Vacation Fund, right. Anybody that needs some information or would like some information on some different types of investment vehicles that... Hey, listen, almost anything is doing better than a bank today. It's not very difficult for me to give people what I consider decent investments that are paying 5 and 6% that are liquid, 100% liquid, meaning I can get them today, sell them tomorrow. And it's just some information that it wouldn't hurt you to know about different types of things. Our job here is to educate people and to give you opportunities to learn. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful show. And with the exception of Pastor Tom holding us back... Oh, we're down to 30 seconds now?
No, you have 1 minute.
Well, you flashed the wrong card.
No, I didn't. I just flashed 1 minute.
Oh, you flashed it 1 minute.
Now he's ready to flash again now, with 30 seconds. Yeah.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. You think we have time for this call?
I don't think so. You can try quickly.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. We have very short time. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question about taking money out of a 401k to start a business. Is there any benefits, tax benefits, loan options, or anything like that?
You're going to have to talk to him.
I'll tell you what you do. We're going to talk to you off the air. Vince Rosino, CPA, will call you back. We've got your number. We'll call you right back in just a few minutes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
No, don't do
it. I think we're winding up and we're done. Is that true?
You got 10 seconds.
1-888-221-8990. Call the station. Pastor Tom or Connie will take your name and number, and we will get back to you with whatever help we can.
Thank you, everyone.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program.
Okay.
The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114.
You're the vine, you're the vine. We are the branches. All we want to do is abide in you.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO.